Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. On this Thursday afternoon, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris joins us for the next 10 minutes. We're going to talk about women avoiding and, in some cases, rejecting the very idea of marriage. You can join us as well, 1-877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
You put us onto this article in the Atlantic Monthly, saddest article I've read in a long time, a woman who's decided she's just done working on her marriage after 20-some-odd years with her husband, and in the end, she advises that women avoid marriage altogether. It's just too much heartache, too much hurt, and too much work. How would you respond to that advice?
Well, if you read that whole article, you'll see that this person is the sort of person who isn't going to be happy no matter what she's doing, because she's extremely self-absorbed. And for her to say you should avoid marriage, what she's really saying is that the only way you can be happy is to avoid relatedness and relationship altogether. And I think that really is a very sad message, and I think that most women reject that, and rightly so. But the fact that something like that could be written in a major magazine without any hint of irony, I think tells us that we're really retreating from relationships, so that what started off as the great experiment in sexual liberation has turned into a full-fledged retreat from human relationships, and I think that's extremely sad.
She seems to, at the beginning of the article, she says, I do not have the strength to, quote unquote, work on falling in love again in my marriage. I want you to address that, because you've written a lot about love and about marriage. Is marriage ultimately and finally about falling in love?
Well, she has a very, her idea of love is that I like the way I feel when I'm with this person. I like the way this person makes me feel. That's what her idea of love really is. And if you look at it, if you read the article closely, she alludes to the fact that she had a boyfriend on the side and that she was fantasizing about her boyfriend when she was having sex with her husband, and this is what she couldn't face that anymore. She couldn't stand it. And so, you know, she's got some transgression going there that somehow that doesn't enter her mind, that was a key factor in the whole thing, that it was her and her behavior that have led to her being unhappy, you know. And in other words, that she's correct that kind of double life doesn't work and doesn't make you happy. And it does require some effort to retreat from that kind of decision and then try to rebuild a life that's based on love. It does require some real effort. But she doesn't see that since she's seeing love as something that's focused on herself, she's not going to get it. See, that's what I think that's true about this woman. She thinks that love is about finding the right person who's going to make her feel a certain way. So she's really viewing the other person as kind of a consumer good that makes her feel good. But the reality is that love works by you giving yourself to the other person and opening yourself to the other person. And she doesn't get that. And so therefore, no matter what she does, she's always going to be cut off from that, because she's looking at it backwards.
So make the case for marriage over against the advice that someone might read in the Atlantic against women connecting in that form of marriage. Make the case that marriage is not only good for women and men, but good for society as a whole.
Well, marriage is good for women individually, in that it allows us to give of ourselves to other people, and it allows us to really connect with another person, which is something that women deeply want and find deeply satisfying. Our problem is that when we look at it as if it's a consumer good, we cut ourselves off from our ability to do that. So there are a handful of things that I think you really need to do within married life that actually aren't that complicated. You need to be grateful to your spouse and show gratitude to them. You need to be kind to them. Do things that are, you know, that are simply just to make them feel good, you know, to be kind to them. You need to praise them in front of other people. Be generous with your with your praise and support and encouragement. And you need to give way sometimes and not let the other, you know, not always insist on having your own way. And what I think is happening to us, Todd, is that narcissism is the disease of the baby boomer generation. And you can't be married to a narcissist or with a narcissist, you know. And if you're a narcissist, you can be in a marriage, but you're not really doing marriage, if you see what I mean, you know. And so there are a lot of people who, you know, I don't know that they're diagnosable, you know, or that a shrink would say, yeah, there you go, narcissistic personality disorder. But there are a lot of people who have that kind of narcissistic orientation, and so therefore they're not able to really do what you need to do to be married. And if you're trying to live with a narcissist, then the things I just said sound really crazy, because it's like if you've got a narcissist on your hands, you can pump them up all you want and say nice things to them and be nice to them, and it won't be enough. And if you read that article in the Atlantic Monthly, you will see this woman, there's nothing her husband could have done that would be enough to satisfy her. I think that's quite clear. If you read some of the things that he did around the house and how he cooked for her and how he was considerate of her girlfriends that came over and they had all this very elaborate gourmet meal that he had prepared and so on and so forth. I mean, he's a nice guy, this husband that she's got, you know? And so he's trying to be considerate of her and to do things for her, and it's not enough. And it's just not enough. So that I think is part of the disordered way that we have of looking at our relationships with other people. We're looking in terms of what is this doing for me, rather than thinking, how do I help? How do I contribute? How do we give together? How do we collaborate together? That I think is really at the heart of married life.
Kathy's listening in St. Charles. Kathy, thank you for waiting. Welcome.
Yes, I think this is a problem not just for women, but for men. I've seen it almost be generational, where there was a person I knew who he was sorry his wife died, but he was sorry because who was going to do this for him, that for him, and the other thing for him. And it was a very strange way, I thought, of grieving, but it really did reflect their relationship. It was very one-sided, where she did do all those things for him, and now he was lost without her because he didn't have somebody to wait on him hand and foot. So it was just, it was strange, and it is strange to see this in people, and it's something that needs to be addressed.
Now, Kathy, do you feel like that? You said you started by saying it was a generational thing. How old were these people?
They were older. They've been married over 55 years.
Well, you know, in some families in that generation, they did have that dynamic going of the wife doing everything for the husband. But a lot of times, she was extracting her benefits in other ways. You know, I mean, she would get her digs in, there are a variety of ways that sometimes those couples manage those things. So I'm not sure if that's the same thing that we're seeing in this article, but you may be right. Was that guy generally a difficult guy, would you say?
I think we lost Kathy.
Oh, did we lose her? Oh, too bad. Too bad. Well, you know, she makes a good point, obviously. You know, this, I don't think that this particular thing is a gender thing at all, and I hope people don't get the impression that I think that, because there are narcissistic women, there are narcissistic men, and I do think it's a particular hazard of our baby boom generation. I think we're particularly prone to it. So I think the general point she's making is completely correct.
Let's see what Mark has to say. He's calling from his car. Mark, our time grows short.
Pastor Todd, really enjoy your guest. And the thought occurs to me is, I wonder if one of the reasons God gave us marriage is to try and pull us out of ourselves, make us a little bit less in cravata, say, and a little bit more to serve one another.
Mark, thank you very much. You got 1 minute, Jen.
Mark, you're absolutely 100% right. There's no question that's why God made marriage, just to draw us out of our self-centeredness. And if you think about it, the sexual urge is one of those things that that makes us interested in other people. And most of us in our self-centeredness would just go right along merrily and never pay attention to anybody if it weren't for the sexual urge and our desire to please other people, you know. So I think there's no doubt that one of the deep purposes of marriage in God's overall plan is to teach us how to love one another and to draw us out of our natural disordered self-centeredness. So I think that's a very profound theological point that your caller just made.
I'll give you 30 seconds to respond to this line from the Atlantic article. She said, it's clear that females are dissatisfied. More women are initiating divorce. If marriage is the old world that lies beyond this new world, it's apparently that stable men are the old worlders and the girls' night out questionnaire completing women who are questing are the questing new worlders. Your response with 30 seconds.
Well, I don't know about the old world, new world thing, but it's certainly true that women are initiating more divorces than ever before, that the vast majority of divorces are initiated by women. And the complicated thing about that statistic is to know how many of those women are dealing with men who really are a serious problem, and how many of them are situations like hers, where there's nothing wrong with the guy, where the woman is dissatisfied because she has, I believe, a skewed notion of what marriage should be about in the first place.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. You'll find a link to Jennifer Roback Morse and the Ruth Institute at our website, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Jen taught economics at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jen, thank you again.
Thank you.
When we come back from this break, we're going to turn to the subject of Buddhism. It is a world religion. It is difficult to understand, although it does have some very clear teachings. It's known through its famous people like the Dalai Lama, and then there are a few celebrities that are fond of Buddhism. And it's alien in many ways because of its thought to us in the Western world, but especially to us Christians, we find it a little difficult to understand. When we come back, we'll get an introduction to Buddhism. Dr. Harold Netland will be our guest, and then we'll talk about the Visitation, Mary and Elizabeth with Dr. Peter Scare.
You like tomato, I like tomato, potato, potato, tomato, tomato. Let's call the whole thing off. But oh, if we call the whole thing off, then we must part.
Village Lutheran Church in Ladue thanks God for his saving gift of faith through Christ and invites you to share in this gift by worshiping with us Sunday mornings at 8:15 or 10:45. We're conveniently located 1 mile west of the Galleria on Clayton Road. For more information, call 314-993-1834 or visit villagelutheranchurch.org. Village Lutheran Church, ordinary people loved by an extraordinary God. VillageLutheranChurch.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
The sharpest arrow in your apologetics quiver. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Noted author and Christian apologist Craig Hawkins on why you should support Issues Etc.
It's my pleasure to recommend to you Issues Etc. It's one of the few programs discussing crucial concerns for Christians. It's done in a dynamic format, again, discussing crucial issues, and in an insightful manner. The program is very much needed. In my opinion, it's one of the most important broadcasts on the air, and it's one of my favorites. So if you want to grow in your faith, know what you believe and why, then this program is for you. I want to encourage you to listen, and I want to encourage you to support the broadcast, both prayerfully and financially.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, or you can make a credit card donation at our website, issuesetc.org, Defending the Faith, Teaching the Truth, Issues Etc.